What's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of Burning River Basketball in your podcast form. I'm Danny Cunningham, joined by Buckets, Ben Belden. I'm also joined by a new guest today. We have Jared Donnelly. Jared, how are you doing? Welcome to the podcast for the first time.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
Buckets, what's up, man?
Oh, you know, just got home after an exhilarating girls basketball victory. I'm a coach, obviously, as maybe our listeners know. And JV and varsity
you
won.
Don't play.
So. No, I don't. I wear my uniform underneath my shirt and tie just in case they need me, but they never do.
In case you were wondering, it is possible to get an adrenaline rush coaching girls JV high school basketball. That was confirmed today by Ben.
Hey, look, I don't doubt it. I coached some park and rec ball for 10 years or so, and you can get a rush coaching fifth and sixth graders. You can get a rush coaching JV girls, I promise.
Ben, can I come to one of the games and interview you in between quarters?
You want to do like a sideline interview between the first and second quarter?
I mean, it fits both of our professions. I am you are a coach. It works. You can give me the pop treatment. I don't care. I just think it would be great.
I was going to say you're going to get some Greg Popovich answers. But
I'd be fine with that.
All right. I'm for it, Danny. Let's pick a game. You and I will go do that, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. We will travel down to who knows where to watch Ben coach some JV girls basketball. Let's get to some good basketball players now.
Whoa!
Obviously, yeah, whoa. And good coaches, too.
Whoa! Oh, good all right. Players, no.
Good players and definitely good coaches, because we need to talk about that. We've already gone like 3 minutes without mention of a good coach. So Tyronn Lue tonight decided that he was not going to bring along Kyrie Irving to Memphis. Kevin Love was going to stay back in Cleveland, and LeBron James as well. This caught quite an uproar across social media, across the NBA. I know a ton of people weren't happy that, hey, you know, three superstars in the league are deciding just to not play tonight. First of all, my first question for you guys is, whose decision do you think this is? Do you think this was LeBron pulling the strings here, not wanting to go to Memphis? Or do you think this genuinely was a Tyronn Lue and company decision?
I think it was a Tyronn Lue and company decision. And I don't think that any of the three parties involved, meaning Kyrie, LeBron, and Kevin, objected to any of it. And why would you? So, I don't think it was LeBron saying, hey, I don't want to go. I mean, maybe he suggested it, but I don't think it was his decision.
Well, I think it was definitely a Tyronn Lue and company decision, and the right one, right? It's way more important at this stage in the season to get those guys a little bit of rest, especially in a home and home on a back-to-back. I would much rather get a good look and see if we have something in Dunleavy, see if we have something in Kay Felder, see what those wings look like coming off of the bench, and address the backup point guard position, which I think is incredibly important. It's important to do those things now when you can afford to drop a game or two, as opposed to worrying about it in April. So I think Tyronn Lue and company decision and absolutely the right one.
Yeah, I would agree. I do think that T. Lue made this decision with the help of his staff and the training staff and whoever else was involved. And I do think it was the right one. I do understand the uproar across the league. There were fans in Memphis, who is a Western Conference team, super excited to see LeBron and company. And I understand and I get it, but I don't care. It's not.
You know what, though? I'll tell you, Danny, I don't get it, right? Because, let's think about it this way. If you were going to go see a Broadway show, right, and you were to go see this Broadway show, but you knew the night before that they had done a show in Toronto at the Pantages Theater, wouldn't you kind of look and see if you were going to see the understudy or whoever was first up?
Well, I don't go to Broadway shows, so.
Well, yeah, sure. You're talking way over Danny's head on this one.
Yeah, come on, man.
Way over his head.
If you're going to go see something important, don't you want to make sure the important people involved are going to be there? Don't you do your homework ahead of time? You mean to tell me these people just looked at the schedule and said, oh, yeah, Cavs, let's do it, and didn't look at what was going on beforehand, knowing the landscape of the NBA?
I get that, but you also have to understand that the common NBA fan doesn't think like you or Tyronn Lue or myself or Ben. Like, they don't necessarily get it. They don't understand that Tyronn Lue's job 365 days a year is to make sure that the Cavs win a title in June. Whether that means winning a game on December 14th or resting your big three on December 14th, his one and only goal is to win the finals. The NBA's goal is to entertain people. Their goals didn't coincide tonight, which I don't care they didn't coincide. I'm happy the guys sat. I'm glad that they lost this game. I mean, I'm not glad they lost this game, but I'm glad they didn't put a ton of stock into this game. I'm perfectly okay with how things went. Ben, what did you have to say?
I mean, I guess the public service announcement that us three need to make is if you're buying Cavs tickets, make sure that you check to see if they had a game the night before or not. I mean, I've been doing it for years because
I don't know. Or a game the next night.
Right. That's also true. So, like, actually, literally, I was just looking over my Christmas break since I'm a teacher. I was like, which Cavs game can I go to? And there were a couple just right off the bat that I was like, not going to that one because they have a – I mean, it's one of the nights of a back-to-back. So, but unfortunately, like you said, Danny, not everyone thinks along the lines of the three of us sitting here right now.
If you are looking for a game to go to over Christmas break, they do play the Warriors at home on Christmas, in case you didn't know.
I'm sure those tickets aren't expensive or anything.
No, totally affordable.
Yeah.
Because no one knew, which is nice.
Yeah, that game really has flown under the radar. I don't think there's going to be any like anything leading up to it or anything like that. It should be rather quiet, you know.
Yeah.
But as long as we're all on the same page with the Stars not playing tonight, I think that's a good thing because I think that in the big scheme of things, tonight was a positive for the Cavs. If you look at the schedule, obviously Kyrie didn't participate last night in the win over Memphis, didn't play tonight in the loss against Memphis. His last game was last week. His next game is Saturday. He's getting, I believe, a full 7 days off in between games. That's good for someone whose legs are feeling heavy, who played until June 19th, took about 2 weeks off, and then decided, hey, I'm going to go over play some basketball in Rio for 2 weeks. Super competitive with Team USA. Now, that's not playing in the NBA Finals because, let's be real, the Cavs or the Warriors would have beaten any of the other countries' teams. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But he was still playing basketball at a high level, and that does take a toll on you. And I saw a chart earlier with LeBron's minutes, and the next closest since he came into the league in the 2003-2004 season, he has over a season and a half worth of minutes more than the next closest guy, who is Joe Johnson, which is incredible. So I think any chance you get to sit 23, you put his ass right on the bench.
Well, no, I mean, completely. And I was talking about it earlier today. I don't care if Kyrie Irving plays exactly any game before the trade deadline. But we don't need it, right? We saw what Mo Williams did last year. He stepped in, he filled the lead guard spot, he initiated offense, he ran the system, and he made shots, which is what you need to get yourself through. And then when Kyrie came back, obviously he was Kyrie. So whatever we get, whatever Cavs fans, whatever the organization gets from Kyrie and LeBron and Kevin Love between the end of October and the trade deadline is essentially a bonus, right? That team healthy is going to mow through the Eastern Conference. It's not close. As good as Toronto is, so I don't care what we get. You got to rest guys, like you said, heavy legs, injury concerns in their past. Let them get healthy.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the season doesn't really start until about April 15th. So why worry about it now?
I'm on board with that sentiment.
I'd fast forward the Cavaliers season to April 15th, which I think says a little bit about us as a fan base now that like we're so spoiled having just won one now.
We are not spoiled. Have you watched the CBS at 1 o'clock on a Sunday lately, Ben?
I can't say that I – well, oh. What, actually, no. Yeah, I can't say that I have. So, I haven't watched the Browns in a long time. I don't kind of forgot they were a thing. So, you know, I'm content. Basketball's my sport. I don't really care about – I mean, I care about football. I don't really care about national football. But, hey, whatever.
That's very fair. And there's another thing I want to get into. How do you guys feel about the not only the back-to-backs on the NBA schedule, but the back-to-backs against the same team? When you have a home-and-home series, the Cavs obviously had one with Memphis this week. And if you flip the calendar ahead to next week, they play in Milwaukee on Tuesday and in Cleveland on Wednesday. So they have the same thing next week with a different team. How do you guys feel about that setup? Because I personally can't stand it.
I think it's stupid in most cases. Like if you were talking about the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets doing it, that's a little bit different. That's if you even talk, if you're even talking about like maybe the Cavs and the Pistons, maybe. But I don't know. Memphis seems a little far to do that. Milwaukee isn't a whole lot better. I get the point. Like you're leveling the playing field for both teams. So like neither one team is disadvantaged, I guess. You had the same travel schedule, so that's not necessarily a factor in the game. Like that's not something you can say. Like if you drop that one, it's not something that you can say like, oh, well, we had to travel and the other team didn't. So I think that's kind of where it comes from, but I can't say that I like it, I guess.
They should share planes.
Yeah. Go all green. Yeah.
But I don't love the home and home setup. But at the end of the day, I kind of don't care, right? Because this is two games out of 82. It's the only two times they play Memphis. They'll go 500 against Memphis. There's no tiebreakers there for seeding. There's no tiebreakers for divisional standings. So who cares?
You know, does it bother you more with an Eastern Conference opponent where tiebreaker?
It would bother me more with a divisional Eastern Conference opponent.
So a home the home Bucks. With,
that I don't love that, right? That's a problem. But at the same time, if you're going to be the better club, you have to win those games. And again, this is happening in December.
Yeah.
So to echo what Ben said, sort of. The season for Cavs fans now starts a lot later than it used to. And that's great, but I think we sort of lose sight of what happens in between. And if they've split home and homes each of those times, you go 1-1 against Memphis, which could not matter less. Does not matter. You go 1-1 against Milwaukee. Does anyone think Milwaukee is threatening the Cavs for the East? No. So, okay. Whatever.
Yeah, I agree. It's whatever. If the Cavs were a team fighting for a playoff spot, I would hate it. Sure. Especially with it being in the division. I don't think they have another one the remainder. Actually, they do have another one, although it's not a back-to-back. March 4th, they play at Miami, and March 6th, Miami is at the Q.
Right.
And they actually, the first game in Miami is the second night of a back-to-back. They play in Atlanta the night before.
Well, and we're not talking about Portland playing against Utah at Portland and then the next night going to Utah to play them. This is not a thing that's going to be impactful in the long term. It's okay, right? And the Cavs chalked it up tonight. We know that it doesn't matter because the Cavs told us it doesn't matter because three of the top 15 players in the league didn't play tonight.
They didn't not just play, they didn't go.
Right. So
where
it's
do you
not
think they all watched the game at?
They probably got on a Google Hangout and just talked.
Like us?
Like the three of us. Probably.
See, I had a feeling they would all go to LeBron's house and he'd make some popcorn or something. And
Savannah had probably a nice little spread set out for the three of them. And
yeah, they watched in his theater room.
They brought their significant others.
Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't seen an Instagram post yet. I mean, maybe we haven't. I just haven't checked, but. It'd be something.
Maybe LeBron's kid had a game. LeBron's kid's probably in season right now. He might have had a game.
Yeah, that's very possible.
We're going to have to get somebody on that. See what LeBron is up to.
We will have to hire a Bronny reporter. So we need someone to cover the blue chips, please. If you're interested, shoot Ben a tweet at bbelden330. but that's high on our priority list. Trust
Does
me.
LeBron's kid play for his like whatever school he goes to team? I wonder, or is he just?
I mean, he's not in high school yet, so I don't.
But
know.
Is he just strictly playing like travel ball and not caring about?
I have never seen a video of him because LeBron is a father who will post videos of his kids playing basketball on Instagram.
Right.
I have not seen a video of them in a school uniform of any type.
Yes, exactly.
That's a good point.
Like it's always been the blue chips for both of them.
Yep.
Also, real quick, Ben, I'm going to continue to not cover LeBron's children if that's all right with you.
Yeah, you're good. We're going to that's going to be like the intern position at Burning River Basketball.
That's not a bad idea.
No, it's not a bad idea. I'm just not going to do it.
Oh, no. But, Ben, do you have any students that are looking for an internship in journalism that want to cover a 12-year-old?
Probably not that are going to want to travel, 2 hours from where we're at, where I'm at, I guess I mean.
I'm sure they play in Columbus from time to time.
Well, who knows? Who knows? Just to digress a little bit, there's $100 tickets available for the Christmas Day game, by the way. Like good ones. So
good ones. Well,
I was there on Saturday and we were as far up as you can get. And I think it was $75. So
Wow.
Yeah.
I have not paid for a Cavs game this season. Interesting.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, good for you, Danny. That's great.
Well, I work for a media outlet in Cleveland, so there are times where I am asked to go there for my job. Christmas is one of them. And I also have a very good friend who works on the basketball operations staff. And there may or may not be times where I'll get a call like 20 minutes before tip-off asking me if I want tickets.
We didn't ask for an elaboration, Danny.
I wanted to explain my situation.
Tough life you live there, Dan.
It's hard, let me tell you.
Well, Jared, you were around for part of, for what Danny was talking about before the podcast, right?
We will not get into that.
No.
I had that issue once before.
No, because the podcast can't probably go more than like 2 hours, right?
Yeah, there was a lot going on there.
It was.
I had quite a day, people, let me tell you. I will leave it at that. I had quite a day today.
It was a big day.
Yeah, something like that. When it rains, it pours. You don't need Mark Johnson to tell you that. Now back to the schedule thing, and really digressing far away from the back to back things. But the Lakers are in town Saturday night, so you guys know what that means. Our old friend Timofey Mozgov gets to come back to town, probably shoot some crappy commercials, and pick up a ring. Are you guys excited to see Timo pick up his ring?
I mean, I'm a little bit excited because, I mean, I never disliked Timo. So, I don't know. It's just
– I don't see how you could dislike Timo. Did you watch any commercials he was featured in?
I don't live in Northeast Ohio, so no, not really.
But dude, they went viral. There was one. He was wearing his jersey backwards.
There was more than one where he wore his jersey backwards.
Incredible.
Gosh, but – I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun to watch Timo get his ring and all that. But for me, it's really just water under the bridge.
And then next week, Matthew Dellavedova is going to be able to pick up his ring on Wednesday night, too.
Get him out.
There is no situation where I can speak logically or rationally about Matthew Dellavedova.
Oh, I need to hear your feelings on that because Ben and I have similar thoughts about him, and I'm curious what side of the argument you're on.
Let's just put it this way. When he entered the game in the last two seasons, I would leave the room, and whoever I was watching the game with would let me know when he was no longer in the game, and then I could re-enter the room to watch.
I think you're pretty spot on with us. I never stopped watching.
And here's the thing. Statistically, that 2 years ago against the Warriors in the finals, he was statistically the worst player ever to start an NBA Finals game.
Did you leave the room during the finals?
Of course not during the finals. That's different.
Oh, boy.
I have my principles and things, but no, I mean, I have never seen a player with less of a plan. I've never seen a player just put his head down and dribble into four guys and figure it out when he gets there. I've never seen someone get more credit for being a good defender without actually ever playing any defense. He was awful. And I also have never seen a player shoot a jump shot with his chin stapled to his jersey like Dellavedova did.
You've never watched Ben play, man.
So
that's true. I haven't seen Ben play.
Wait a minute. I got it.
Ben can handle it right now.
I have to ask this question.
Yeah.
If I ever stop laughing. True or false? Matthew Dellavedova could start for 29 of the other NBA basketball teams in the NBA.
Absolutely no chance. Matthew Dellavedova is barely a rotation player on half the league's teams.
Okay, I need to explain this inside joke. Once and for all, I am explaining it. Especially because said person is no longer in the favor of Cleveland Twitter. Cleveland Twitter is on our side. Matthew Maron, better known as SC_Cleveland, or Maddie Cleveland, or whatever he wants to go by. He proposed that Matthew Dellavedova, this was during the 2014-2015 season. He proposed that Matthew Dellavedova would be starting on every other NBA team. Every other team in the association, Matthew Dellavedova would be the starting point guard. It is not true, even remotely. At the time, he maybe could have started in Philadelphia. And Philadelphia was trusting the process.
I'm not going to say anything else.
I have no words there. But your original question, it'll be nice to see Timo get his ring, right? he did exactly what the Cavs needed him to. And trading those two first-round picks, who cares?
They got JR and Amon Shumpert in that whole ordeal, too.
Well, they were two separate trades, right?
They were the same thing.
One giant trade, and the net value of the trades made mid-season wound up in the Cavs' favor. So you write it off, but even if you take that trade and isolate it, so you get Timo for two firsts, and everything's okay because he did exactly what they needed him to.
And he was very good.
He was a matchup, and he was a matchup problem. And that his first year with the Cavs was not a full year, but they retired Zydrunas' jersey. My dog is named after Zydrunas, right? So we know that Cleveland loves him. The numbers for Zydrunas Ilgauskas' career and Timo Mozgov that year he came over from Denver were nearly identical. So you don't mind trading those picks. And what he did was great. A matchup problem. He ran the floors a bit, blocked shots. He altered shots at the rim. And he was very switchy and super zippy. When teams wanted to go small, the Cavs could still go big. They knew he could get switchy and flip out, right? So, yeah, give him his ring. I love it.
Yeah, he was about the second offensive weapon that they used in the finals after Kyrie went down. So, yeah, I mean, Timo, I don't know, he had a big role. And I wish he wouldn't have – I mean, I wish he would have been healthy because I think starting last year
– he was nowhere near healthy, and it ruined his year.
Wrecked him. And I'll tell you what, real quick, not to get too basketball nerdy here, but the Lakers like to do this thing where they have Timo show out really, really hard on pick and rolls because they know that he's quick enough and his lateral movement is good enough where he can at least manage guards or string guards out on the pick and roll, which is force them from the three-point line out towards half court, you know, and extend that offense where they don't want it to be. And in that way, he was really great for the Cavs too, especially against guards like Curry and Chris Paul and things like that who don't want to operate that far out because they can't initiate offense from there. And he's doing a really, really great job of that in L.A. right now. And Julius Randle is allowing that to happen because he's, again, I hate to repeat it, but switching, right? You know, they switch everything. And he's really, really good at helping out. And Timo can stretch those guys out, and it's a big, big deal in disrupting offense.
And on a way less nerdy Los Angeles Lakers comment here, Larry Nance Jr., Akron Zone, caught a body tonight. Any of you guys see that?
Oh, my God.
I
tweeted it. It's bonkers. Ben, just look it up on my Twitter right now. It's absolutely bonkers.
Dude, he caught a body. And my favorite part of it, the dunk was outstanding. My favorite part of it is the reaction on the Nets bench.
It's really good.
It's like really they want to celebrate so bad, and they're about to get up. And then they realize, Oh, man, he just murked our guy.
Just absolutely buried him.
He caught a body in a big way.
He's well, that and you know, in the Wine and Gold Weekly, I made sure I made mention, you know, he's electric and he's bouncy and he elevates extraordinarily well. And you wish that that made him a better defender, you know.
I don't know how he ended up at Wyoming. Like, did people forget his last name is Nance?
Well, yeah, right. And not only that, but his skill set is prototype NBA right now. If he could make a jump shot out to 18 feet, he would have been a top 12 pick, but he just can't do that. So instead, he's athletic and he's blocking shots and he's altering shots and he's great on the pick and roll and he's wonderful in help situations and he's electric around the rim. And that's what more do you need?
Yeah.
Essentially, out of a big like that.
You're 100% right. Ben, what do you think of the dunk?
Yeah. Rest in peace, Brooke Lopez.
Yeah, there it is. He's all
did
done.
Did you see the Nets bench?
I don't think the clip that I watched showed the Nets bench. Or
I believe I tweeted it out on my Twitter account.
I'll have to check that one. I'll have to check that one next. But yeah, wow. Not a whole lot going wrong or going right in Brooklyn right now. But
no.
Real bad.
Why they thought it was a good idea to go all in, and by going all in meant signing an over-the-hill Kevin Garnett and an over-the-hill Paul Pierce, blows my mind.
Well, they had to.
They did not have to.
They absolutely had to because Mikhail Prokhorov is he's a crazy person and wanted to make a run, and the only way that they had with the assets that they had and the landscape of the Eastern Conference was to take on those contracts that they did. And it didn't work out, and we all knew that it wasn't going to work out. But in order to appease ownership and keep your job, if you're that GM, that's exactly what you have to do. That's exactly what it did.
And how did it work out?
It didn't.
Exactly.
But, well, again, but if your boss told you, if you want to keep your job, win now. Wouldn't you do the best thing that you thought you could to make it at least appear you were trying to win now?
Yeah, that's very true.
Of course, right? So they had to take on that salary. They had to take on those older players that were done and past their primes and couldn't hack anymore. And they did. And the roster on paper looked pretty great. When you put it on the floor, it didn't work. But they had to do that for a lot of reasons. They just built that new arena. They got to put butts in seats. They just hired this new coach and this whole new system, this whole new image and uniforms and all this stuff. So you have to do something that attracts people to it and puts bodies on the floor people have heard of that can win games and have in the past. It just didn't work.
I'm just saying we all knew it was going to be a disaster, and it was. So it is what it is.
It was a beautiful disaster.
It was an absolute nightmare. Before we get out of here, anything else that you guys feel an absolute dire need to talk about?
No, as long as you don't.
I'm Gucci, fam.
Check out our, the Twitter for Burning River Basketball, which was at BR Basketball.
Correct.
Got to get that in there.
Also,
make sure you check out burningriverbasketball.com.
Also, while you're listening to this podcast on that website.
Or on iTunes. Write us a review on iTunes. We like those.
Tell us how great we are. Tell us if you liked having Jared on the podcast. We can make sure he never comes on again if you hated him. Till next time, keep it real.